Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Native. Native Deodorant. For 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com. Use promo code GHOST during checkout. Have you ever described a job you had as a nightmare? Maybe it was a crazy demanding boss, a nutty coworker, or just insane everything. If you've ever had a workplace where you had to say, you can't make this shit up on a daily basis, we want to hear about it. Anonymously, of course, on our new podcast, Office Horror Stories. Each week, we'll play back your calls, read your stories, and discuss the craziest, most extreme, and intense workplaces of all time. But to do that, we need your stories. If you have a crazy workplace story in your past or maybe even present, tell us about it anonymously. Just call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. We don't want your name. We don't want the name of the workplace. We just want your story. So you can go ahead and let it all out anonymously. Call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 1-833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. That's officehorrorstories.com. Now you have an outlet to share the craziness that is or was your office. Then stay tuned as we launch the new podcast, Office Horror Stories, this fall. Tell us your story now at officehorrorstories.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, have you ever been trapped in a haunted hotel elevator? The idea of being in a confined space, especially in a haunted one, kind of daunting. Today we hear the story of a haunted hotel and an employee who discovers they're not alone inside of the haunted hotel elevator.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call in your real ghost story. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can do that by dialing that number on your device. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to take it a step further and really show your support of the show and keep this pirate ship afloat, just go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And $5 a month is going to get you a bonus episode every single week, exclusively for extra podcast people, EPPs as we call them, when you do the $5 a month thing. And you'll also get advanced episodes of the show. Commercial free, by the way. All there, all to binge away on at either ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You can sign up for that year option too, which we still got some of those USB drives. I just sent a whole shipment of those out a couple weeks ago. And do those every, roughly every 2 months, realistically. Might be closer to every 3 months or 3 month mark on our next one because of the move and everything. But, so quarterly is essentially when I send those out. Yeah. I sent a big, thing of those out. If you're a yearly EPP at $55 a month at ghostpodcast.com, you get, the USB drive, and on there is the Richard in Chattanooga saga in its entirety of every call we've ever gotten, including some I've never aired here on the show, some that I didn't even know we had when I was going through the archive. So it's really an interesting, it's more than an hour of content on that. Then you have another 9 hours of bonus content as well with some of my favorite interviews, a bonus EPP episode on there, and more stuff for that yearly level. And then you don't have to do monthly. It's just all there for you. And you get 1 month free at ghostpodcast.com for that if you want to support the show that way. So lots of ways to keep this thing on the air. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
You ever been in an elevator that's gotten stuck?
No.
Never?
I don't think so.
I can't say I have either. It's been a fear. I mean, it's one of those things that runs through my mind every time I'm in an elevator.
I'm not afraid of getting stuck in an elevator. I'm afraid of it malfunctioning and plummeting.
Yeah, that would suck too. I think I'm more afraid of it turning into an oven.
Oh.
And cooking in it.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to get that hot unless the building's on fire.
That's what I mean.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it getting the power goes out, you're stuck in the elevator, and then you can't get out because it gets so hot. Hmm. So, both, there's a fear of getting killed in an elevator in some ways. I think everyone probably has. I think it's like rare.
Yeah.
But I do like look for, well, where's the hatch? So if I have to then turn into MacGyver, I know how to, I can just pop that thing open and then easily pull myself up there with one arm. And then with the other arm, I'll grab the relief cable and then I'll scale the cable to the top floor.
Yeah.
And then on my way up, I will have knitted a white flag out of various pieces of cloth that I find on the floors as I'm scaling. Uh-huh. And then I'll make this giant flag and I'll wave it at the top.
When I was a kid, I used to hate MacGyver.
Really?
Yeah, I hated MacGyver.
I love MacGyver.
No, it was so annoying because he'd always find a way out. And I was like, there's no point in watching this because you know it's all going to be fine. I wanted to watch the episode where something happened to MacGyver and his paperclip or whatever tool he pulled out of his pocket didn't work and he died. That was the one I wanted to see.
Next on a very special MacGyver, MacGyver's met his match.
Yeah.
And it's something really dumb, mm-hmm. like a paperclip or something.
Yeah.
It's like the post-it note that he was used to save the world from a nuclear explosion. Didn't work. Mm-hmm. There wasn't enough tackiness to the back of it. And it made the nuclear explosion happen.
Yeah.
And MacGyver ruined the world. I did not get into the MacGruber. I thought it was mm-hmm. very disrespectful of MacGyver.
God. He did not care that much.
I thought MacGyver is a hallowed institution. Oh, Jesus. It is. It's almost, I mean, it's right up there with, you know, churches and things of that nature, MacGyver. Maybe not quite up.
Okay.
But, you know, they did a new MacGyver, didn't they?
There's a new MacGyver. There's a new Magnum PI. There's a new, like, Hawaii 5-0. It's like the 80s all over again.
I can't do the shit when it's redone like that.
They even tried to make Lethal Weapon into a TV show. I don't know how that went.
These story, especially shows that were so character-based and so driven by a single lead character, you can't redo it well because the character is what made the show. The actor, the image of that individual is what made the show. And then you have someone, it's like Saved by the Bell, the new class.
It's stupid.
It's like, oh, yes, all these kids look like they're dressing up in Halloween costumes like the original cast. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, this doesn't work. The only way you can do that is when it's like a multi-person show and it's not just one individual. Then you can bring that back and maybe one or two characters return and the rest are new.
So,
like the Dallas, when that came back, I thought it was okay.
Yeah. And you know what? It's shameful. It's like a thing I shouldn't say, but I've really gotten into the new version of Dynasty. Mm-hmm. I like that show.
Is it based on the old characters?
Or? It's like a reboot. So it's not like you've got the original characters coming back at all. Mm-hmm. There's new people playing those characters. So it's like what you're talking about doesn't work. But this one does.
But there was a multi-character show.
Yes.
It wasn't just like Magnum. Like, when you think of Magnum, you think of Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
I don't think of who. I don't even know who's playing. When you think of MacGyver, you think of the guy who played MacGyver.
Yeah.
You don't think of. And then I hate when like, oh, the same hair is.
It's
no,
not the same.
Yeah. So anyway, let's do a ghost story.
Okay.
Considering this is what the show is about. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. It says, hi, well, I'm from the Bay Area, California. I believe I was born being able to see ghost spirits as I was taken many times to the ER because of my nonstop crying ever since I was a baby, only to turn out I was a healthy baby and later a healthy child. I was diagnosed with having insomnia, schizophrenia, and told I had ESP, blah, blah, blah. I was taken to the doctor, after doctor, to psychics, psychologists, psychiatrists, given heavy sedation with no effect on me. I go days without sleeping. I had tests done, but all they showed was that I was a healthy, normal child with a somewhat high IQ. I spent years afraid of the dark, had episodes of sleep paralysis and just a lot of sleeping issues or lack of sleeping. Most of my experiences happen in the house I grew up in, but I seem to have experiences wherever I go, though they are infrequent. My mom never really accepted me or my problems, but my dad did, and he would stay up with me. But unfortunately for me, he passed away when I was 10 years old. And I think the weird part is that once he passed away, I was able to sleep a little better and had fewer experiences. I believe he's my protector. He knew how tormented I was. He never showed himself to me, and I firmly believe it is because I would speak to him in my head and ask him not to because I was too afraid. But he has been able to manifest his presence to me on two or three occasions. I have several stories, but the one I'm going to tell today is when I was around 7 years old. We had previously returned from my trip to Mexico because my maternal grandfather had passed away, and we went to his funeral. As I mentioned, I was a scared cat, and so I slept in my parents' bedroom. That night, my mother got up to prepare a bottle for my sister, and being that I've always been a non-sleeper or a light sleeper at best, I always woke up and followed her to the kitchen. While she sat at the table, bottle feeding my sister, I sat in a chair across the table from where I was at. I had a clear view of my parents' bedroom where my dad was still sleeping. After a few minutes of silence, I said to my mom, "Mommy, my grandpa is cold." She looked at me like I was crazy and asked me why I said that. I responded, "Because he's shaking." She told me years later that she was so freaked out at that moment, but had managed to remain calm. It wasn't the first time I had made this type of comment, but it was the first time she could accept it as being real. My grandfather had Parkinson's disease. There's no way I could have known that, or even if I did, there's no way I could have known about the tremors. Thanks for giving me the space to share my experience. I will return with more.
I think sometimes when you're going through a tough time or you have ongoing challenges like the insomnia, I think you really are more open to things like visits from dead family members, and you probably see people in your everyday life that you don't even realize aren't really alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably the case with this person, that unfortunately it's not something they're going to grow out of. It's something they're just going to continue to probably deal with as long as they have those ongoing issues.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is one of those things where it's just, it's there and you can either kind of accept it, and some say that they have the ability to kind of block it out or tune it down, mm-hmm. or things of those some things of that. And others are like, I don't know how the hell people are doing that, but I'd love to learn. But it's like having a really strong sense of smell and saying, okay, try not to be so sensitive to smell.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I guess I could plug my nose, you know, or, you know, constantly be having allergic reactions, so I've got some stuffed up. But if it's there, it's there.
Yeah.
Essentially, then it's like, how are you going to deal with what it is that you have? Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Back to the ghost stories in just a moment. First, I want to thank a supporter of our show today, Native Deodorant. It's great stuff. I use it every single day. At Native, they create safe, simple, effective products that people use in their bathroom every day, like myself. Create products with trusted ingredients, trusted performance. If you're not convinced, well, there's 9,000 plus five-star reviews from their customers that should be pretty darn convincing for you. It's formulated without aluminum, parabens, or talc, which are in several other types of deodorant. And if you are aware of this, it's probably not something you really want to be rubbing all over your body. It's filled with ingredients found in nature, such as coconut oil, shea butter, tapioca starch, things that are good for you. They never tested on animals. You get free shipping and returns. And best of all, hey, the product works. It's not just a bunch of, oh, this is really good for you stuff. It works. Make the switch to an aluminum-free deodorant. It doesn't mean having to sacrifice product performance. Check it out for yourself. They have over 9,000 five-star reviews. You've been on the Today Show, Elle Magazine, Pop Sugar, many others. It's just a good product. And right now you get 20% off. Get this, 20% off your first purchase. Visit nativedeodorant.com. Use promo code GHOST during checkout. Nativedeodorant.com. Use promo code GHOST. When you're playing along at home, it's spelled G-H-O-S-T. 20% off your first purchase, nativedeodorant.com. Use promo code GHOST. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. As I said earlier, extra podcast people, when you sign up there at ghostpodcast.com, you get bonus episodes of our show. We put up brand new ones every single week filled with some of our best ghost stories. Also, advanced episodes of the show, the regular episodes, released to EPPs weeks before they go out to the public with no commercials in. So it's commercial free. You get to binge away and hear the stories well in advance of everyone else. And of course, the extra episodes as well as an EPP at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com.
You know what Thursday is? I just have to throw this out.
Real ghost stories. What?
Thursday is your 6th birthday for the show.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
October 10th.
Well, this show is going to be released in November.
Okay. Well, it's so belated.
Many Thursdays ago.
Yeah.
So this is, I believe, one of our first episodes in the month of November. Mm-hmm. October 10th is the date. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. I don't keep track of birthdays.
No, you don't. You have no idea what date most things happen.
I don't. No. What is that?
That's just you. You're better with other things. Dates are not your thing.
That, from what I've read, is very much a common Asperger-y type thing.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Then there's also those of us that memorize dates and have that, you know, stuck in our mind constantly.
You know, it's either like you're with being like this, it's either you're 100% on to like every damn date in the world, or you just don't give a shit because it doesn't, like, I recognize them when they happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm not against like celebrating them or enjoying them or doing something special for someone else when it's their day. I just couldn't tell you when the hell they are.
I know. You have to check Facebook to know when my birthday is.
I do.
I know.
Although I am good at it now because it's exactly 10 days before our anniversary.
Yeah.
So that I've been kind of using as a trick. Mm-hmm. If I can remember one or the other, then I'm like, oh, yeah. But what's the number I'm looking for?
I've just learned to not get offended when you have the dates wrong.
I miss my birthday sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think it was this year you said, you know, tomorrow's your... What?
Yeah, tomorrow's your birthday. Back in August.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it is. It's a weird thing. Mm-hmm. And I get how others can be offended without knowing the person. Mm-hmm. Because to some, it's such a thing. It's just like it's second nature to know numbers and dates. I just don't. It does not register. As much as I try or want to remember or go, I'd like to do something special on X date for somebody, I have to write that shit down. Because you could say to me 50 times in an hour and it will not sink. It will not stay. And I don't know why that is. Same with names.
Yeah.
I cannot do names to save my life. I have to really know the person. And even then, it's difficult. It will take time. Like when we were meeting our new neighbors a couple of weeks ago, we were checking out our new house. And they were out in the yard and we started talking and everything. And it was great. Is Scott one? I think I remember one of them. I tried.
Close. It's an S name.
I thought it was an S.
Steve.
It's Steve. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what but this is one I talked to without you.
Right.
And that's the one? So you, here you go. You remember.
I remember the name of the person I didn't meet that you told me you met. That's how my mind works.
That's good.
Sorry.
You're my backup system.
I'm your memory.
You're my cloud.
Yeah.
Because I told you immediately when I was walking into the garage and I'm like, I met the neighbor. This is his name.
Yeah.
Just unload the information quickly before it's gone. But I know we met the other neighbors. I don't remember their names.
I don't either.
I saw one at the grocery store.
Yeah.
They're like, hi.
I remember her name. I don't remember his name.
I don't. They all seem like lovely people. And eventually I'll remember their name. Probably by the time all of our kids graduate college.
It took us being at that house, and we don't even technically own it yet. We close on it soon. What, an hour before we met neighbors on both sides? How long did we live here before we ever met the neighbors? Like a year.
Have we met them yet?
No, the house on the other side of the woods, one lot away, we met them at the garage sale that we just had to get rid of shit because we're moving.
Yeah. I think
so. That's 3 years.
I might have kind of done that by choice, though, a little bit, because they got the dogs from hell.
No, that's not them.
Oh, it's not.
No.
Oh, that's further down.
That's further down.
Oh God, those are noisy dogs. If it's further
that
down,
that is further. Well, that's why the neighbors next to them are moving.
They put these dogs in their yard, and they don't stop barking. It's just nonstop. And then, as an ode to the dogs, they have literally flags that have been made with the dogs' pictures printed on them, and they're lining the garden. I have no problem with loving your dog or caring about your dog, but for the love of God, the neighborhood doesn't like to hear your dogs.
No.
Have a little consideration there, and maybe a little, some classes, something, training a little. That can be trained, can it?
Yeah.
To not have the dog flip out every time it sees a blade of grass.
Yeah, but, you know, instead of taking care of one yippy dog, they added two more.
and made an altar for it on the inside the house. I've seen it. There's actually an altar in the house with the pictures of the dogs, and they light candles.
Damn. If you live next to dogs that do that for years, you know what it's like.
It's like the Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next one says, my ghost story begins in an assisted living building, which originally was a very glamorous and popular hotel built in 1925 in Florida. Many rich and famous people from the Northeast, such as the Rockefellers, would winter in the area. As the years passed and the hotel closed, it was left to decay. In 1990, it was bought and put back into its original glory as assisted living apartments. I began working there as a nurse. It was a large building with apartments in five different levels, and one of them being the basement. When the building was remodeled, the original elevator was repaired along with an addition installed. When it was a hotel, the lobby level had a small lounge with a bar and music. The staff would report hearing music being played whenever they came down to the lobby in the elevator in the evening. Lights turned off would turn back on, and the doors would open by themselves. It was mostly playful incidents, but was hard keeping overnight staff. But things started to change. Voices were being heard, staff seeing movement out of the sides of their eyes, or feeling like someone sat down on the couch next to them. This is one of many of my own experiences while I worked there for about 10 years. I was working an evening shift and the only staff in the building. I'd been up on one of the upper floors doing my medication pass when one of the residents asked for a glass of milk. I had to go down to the main lobby level where the kitchen was to get it. Now, the doors to the kitchen and the dining room were locked when the staff left for the day, so to get into the kitchen, you had to go into the stairwell that also led to part of the basement that wasn't used except for storage. The stairs went down to a landing where the mechanical room for the original elevator was, and the stairs turned down into the basement. I went to the stairwell, to the landing, the top of the stairs, to go to the kitchen, through the back door. Only the top landing had a light on at the time of the night, so staff could clock in and out, as our time clock was located on the landing. As I stepped in the front of the kitchen door to unlock it, I glanced down the stairs to the next landing. Standing there looking up at me was a man dressed in work clothes and a cap in front of the door to the mechanical room. I quickly unlocked the door and went into the kitchen. I stood there with my heart pounding, calmed myself down, got the glass of milk. I cautiously opened the door and looked down to the stairs to the landing, but nothing was there. I thought to myself, did I really see that? I ran out the door into the main lobby, where I heard the bell dinging and saw the doors to the original elevator, whose mechanical room the man was standing in front of, opening and closing, and no one inside. Whenever I worked the evening shift after that, I took the stairs.
Here's something we don't talk about a lot.
What?
What is it about staircases and ghosts?
I was wondering the same thing the other day, because I think it was an episode called, like, Ghost on the Stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know. Is it just because it's a place where you're more vulnerable than others when you're treading up and down them? There's more risk of injury of being pushed up or down, and that puts our senses at a higher alert?
I don't know. It could be that, because there's plenty of times ghosts push people down stairs, but I'm just wondering why you see ghosts on stairs a lot. I don't know.
That's kind of the conclusion I came to, where maybe it's just kind of like our an archaic part of our brain that is there to be aware of our surroundings. It's something kicks into overdrive on a stair or an incline of some sort, of looking for danger and sensing it. And maybe we're just a little bit more aware of our surroundings when we're on stairs versus when we're not.
But what is the fascination with stairs with people anyway? You know, like you walk in some place and it has a grand staircase, like, oh, it's a grand staircase. You know, it's like, what?
Yeah.
Who cares? It's literally getting from one floor to the next.
This makes it more grand.
I don't know.
I feel very grand when I go up a grand staircase. I'm like, yes.
I don't. I feel annoyed. I'm like, where's the elevator? I do.
Thank you, Daria.
I'm sorry.
You just ruined grand staircases for me. I don't know what it is. Is this because it's a great focal point? You know, it's an architectural place that could be made more grand than the grand, you know, wheelchair ramp. I mean, it's... I mean, it's just maybe historically speaking, that was it. It was just a place where... It was more of an atrium area, and the architects of the day, when they're trying to make things look special and nice, there was a lot more to work with on the palette. And then they just like, oh, we can do work. We do a lot in this area. What are we going to call this shit? Special stairs. That sucks. Grand staircase. Grand staircase it is. That's
okay. That must be exactly what the thought was when they
exactly how
did it went. That. Okay.
I know this shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a quote, actually. It was reenacting. There was a cutscene from Titanic. Did you know that?
Uh-huh.
It was a scene starring John Goodman.
Really?
Yeah, and Hugh Grant. They were originally in the cast, and it was a cutscene. It was on the, not the DVD extras.
You were so full of shit.
It was on the Betamax extras. If you got that set, it was, you remember like when you, before DVDs?
There's going to be some, you know, 20-year-old that doesn't even know about that movie that's
good.
Going to be thinking that you're right.
Good. There was, you bought Titanic on Betamax.
You never could buy it on Betamax.
On VHS, it was a two
did it
VHS, yeah, because it was so long, it was on two cassettes, so it was like an extra wide deal on VHS. But the Betamax set came with the extras, and that was like a 7 beta set.
You know, I'm literally dealing with a kidney stone right now, and you are the most painful thing right now in the room.
Betamax. Did you ever have Betamax?
No.
No. We were old enough to have it. I remember seeing it at the stores, at like the video rental stores.
Nope.
It's funny. It was a smaller tape, but the boxes were bigger.
Okay.
It was. I remember like going to like the video rental. It's like, oh, can I find like a good movie? Like, this is great. Can we rent this one? No, that's beta. We have VHS.
Which ended up being the one that survived.
And the funny thing is, beta was better quality.
Yeah, well, they spent all that extra money on the bigger box, so they go out of business.
Hating on the beta.
Whatever.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories or happy memories of Betamax with us. Hi.
My name's Davin. I'm from Kentucky. This is one of my more crazy experiences. Was almost possessed by a demon. I'll try to make this short and sweet because it keeps cutting me off. But in a nutshell, my buddy and I saw this demon at his house. He was just a solid, it was like inhumanly tall. And you could visibly see him, which was nuts. He was standing on his staircase, and we were looking in from the sliding glass doors on the outside, and once I noticed him and noticed all that just pure hatred, that hate, just overwhelming hate and evil that was radiating from him, he noticed me. And my buddy's freaking out because he's never really experienced anything like this. And, you know, he's not sensitive to any of this. He didn't really believe in any of this prior to this. So I immediately ran to my truck, grabbed out my Bible, and came back. And I don't remember what verse it said, but I know I read a verse. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you need to leave this place and never return. So it was like, you know, a shadow was lifted. And he and my buddy was like, okay, I can't go in that house. Like, I can't stay here tonight. Can I stay at your place? I was like, oh, of course. So we go back to my place, and I'm trying to explain to him, you know, everything that's happening, because he's got a million questions. And I noticed that my back door is starting to open, and I'm starting to get that feeling. And it sounds like there's water running down my living room wall when the pipes are on the opposite side of the house, the kitchen. Like, it's like catty corner. It's like complete opposite side of the house. So I grabbed my grandmother's Bible. I read another verse, and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Beth, I command you to leave this place and never return. And that door slammed shut so fast, water sound stopped, and everything was fine. Or at least I thought. I thought it was over. Well, I had joined the Marine Corps, and I noticed little weird stuff here and there, but I just kind of attributed it to me being like a magnet for spirits and stuff like that. And I've been that way since I was a little kid, so I was kind of used to that. But he started coming to me in dreams as the woman I was dating at the time when I was stationed in Okinawa. And she, you know, looking at her presence didn't feel right. You know, she didn't carry herself right. You know, the whole nine, it was not her in any way, but it was still almost convincing. Yeah, that was the scary part, because she would say, just give up, just let him win. It's okay. Nothing bad will happen. It'll all be over soon if you just give up, quit fighting it, and blah, 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 blah. I mean, just stop along that line. It was real messed up. And I realized, well, I've got to keep fighting. I got to fight harder now. So he would come, and I would dream, and during these dreams, everything would be pitch black. I couldn't see anything. The only thing that I could sense, I could use with any of my senses, like pick up with any of my senses, was his voice talking to me. And he would always say, don't worry, I will win. I will drag you to the deepest parts of hell. The harder you fight, the farther I will drag you down, and stuff along those lines. I mean, it was messed up what he was saying. I'd always wake up smelling sulfur after these dreams, every single time. And it got to a point where every night I was having these dreams, and I was waking up to him holding me down. Like, I know it wasn't sleep paralysis, because I've had that before. It was a completely different feeling. It felt like I was being physically held down. So I contacted my grandfather, who was an elder at my church back home, and he contacted our pastor, who in turn contacted me, and he helped me out with it a little bit. You know, he told me exactly what I needed to say, and informing, you know, I've got to use every ounce of faith for this. And so, you know, I told him, you know, in the name of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to leave this place, never return. Never return to me, to my family, or to any of my friends or anyone I associate with. And I had to do that a couple times, and, you know, they got rid of him for me. And, you know, since then I've never dealt with him. But it's still every once in a while I have nightmares about it, but I woke up knowing that it wasn't him, which is good. So that's probably one of my crazier stories. It was not fun. That spanned over about 4 years, so definitely not good. So I appreciate you listening. If you use this for the show, awesome. If you don't, I hope you liked it. But anyways, y'all have a good one.
I can't fathom going through that and trying to find solutions for that.
No. I mean, at least it seemed like, you know, his support network had some connections that, you know, that he could contact. But it's mm-hmm. like just going through that and being afraid to sleep.
Yeah, that'd be horrible. Mm-hmm. That would not be... And just trying to get it, you know, to go away. And it is good. He had some support there and found a solution for his problem. Thank you for sharing that story with us. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, like I said, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, an extra podcast person, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. stories to keep this thing on the air. Check it out. Keep it going. Until next time. For Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.